the Bank, a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast with Corey, Derek, and JK3.
All right, welcome to Down by the Bank, sponsored by Brewers Pizza, Orange Park, and Clay County's only brew pub. This is Corey.
Hey, guys, what's up? It's Derek.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's JK3.
COVID-19, we're going to have to unfortunately step away, guys, just for the benefit of the public and of our fans. I'm sorry, but for probably about a month or two, we're going to quarantine. So appreciate you guys listening, and I hope you have a good day.
I mean, what have you been doing in the midst of COVID-19?
I mean, I've been working from home, playing whatever games my little girl wants to play, because she's not in daycare or whatever, and I'm not house crazy yet, but some people might be there. They're shutting down the bars and the restaurants, and people are not happy about that. And
Derek, are you getting up and like dressing like you're going to work to go sit on the couch?
No, man. I the same stuff I got on right now is the same stuff when I woke up with, man. No. Unless I got to go somewhere, then yeah, obviously I'll put some work clothes on. But man, it's so uncertain, as far as like what to do. I was telling my neighbors today, I was like, man, I wish it was a hurricane. At least I know what the heck to do. Like,
wait, you were talking to your neighbors and not practicing social distancing or social quarantine? I'm calling the authorities.
First of all, these homes out here, damn California style, like 6 feet apart. You can't help but be right there. That's the first thing. But no, gosh, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I really sit back and think, man, when is it gonna pass? It's just one of those things. But I hope everybody's staying healthy and staying safe out there. And if you get a chance, do something for someone, the elderly. They're very nervous about this. So if you got the opportunity, pick up some groceries. If you find some toilet paper, just buy all of it. No matter how many dirty looks you get, and share it with someone elderly.
share it with someone
elderly, because they're very nervous about going into stores and stuff. So,
mm-hmm. Or share it with me, because I was just at Walmart and I couldn't get any. So, I do the dress up thing. I think it's that's the only way I can sort of separate myself into work mode, is if I actually dress up in professional clothes. And I
do
can't
you really?
Sit on yeah and like oh my god, is that funny? I mean, what? Sorry, I'm dedicated, but
bro, you're dedicated, bro. That's just like an NBA player putting on their warm-ups and running around the house just with their own stat line.
Yeah.
And pulling their warm-ups off, dapping up their dog and their daughter before they run out just to do nothing but go shoot jumpers in the driveway.
All right. So I shouldn't have shared that. And then one thing, I'm pretty sure that me and my daughter both are carriers of the coronavirus, so it's probably good that we're quarantining, because we literally, in the past 2 weeks, were in New York, in Manhattan, on the subway, in Madison Square Garden for the Knicks' last game of the season, which was kind of funny it ended up that way. In Tampa and in Orlando, including at theme parks, like 4 different airports.
You got that.
Yeah, so I mean, I have just been kind of like, and these have all been pre-planned things that I couldn't social distance out of, but for the most part, everything that we had been scheduled to do, we finished all of it up right prior to all the announcements coming down about 50 or less, or I guess it's 10 or less people now for major events. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but we've kind of snuck in a bunch of stuff right before this whole shutdown.
I hope it was pre-planned. You guys aren't being like tornado chasers or virus chasers, running around, going to New York, hopping on a flight, going to Tampa, going to another flight, headed to another theme park in Orlando. Man, I hope it was pre-planned.
Yeah, no, and even the Orlando thing was funny, because we were in Universal and Islands of Adventure the day before they closed too, so it was kind of strange that everything kind of worked out that way. But if anybody were to have it and be not showing symptoms and just be a carrier, it would probably be us. But just to reassure everybody, I'm not currently doing anything. I'm staying at home. So,
well, I tell you what, man. Hey, for listeners out there, obviously we don't do this in the same. In the same like house neighborhood, we are really practicing proper podcast social distancing right now, so via Skype. So, Corey, stay healthy, my friend.
Yeah. Stay healthy. Normally, we'd be in our Down by the Make studios downtown, but What about you, JK3? I saw you're posting videos. You're like a movie producer now or something.
Jack of all trade, master of none, what I am. So, no, it's just been, I mean, working from home is nothing new for me. So it's some one of those things that, you know, it's a luxury at my employer. So, but the thing that I am getting used to, though, is having my children being home. That in itself is an entirely different, just like the noises that they make. from upstairs, the noises that they make, they're running around, and you know they're always hungry, and I think we feed our kids pretty well, but they're just always hungry or they're thirsty or they always just need something. And the worst thing to me that's like nails on a chalkboard is like my daughters will be upstairs and they're just like, "Daddy," like they drag it out, and I'm just like, "What?" And then it's like, "Oh, the soap fell off the soap dish. Can you come pick it up?" You know, so having to deal with that. But in the midst of all this, man, shout out to all the teachers, honestly, because, you know, I've had to do some reading comprehension and some math and stuff like that with my kids. And there is no way that I could do this for 8 hours a day or however long the school day is for 40 or 50 hours a week. So teachers, you got hats off to you guys. You know, everyone that's out there, I'm glad the teachers, the few that I know that listen to this podcast, I'm glad that you guys are getting that extra break, that extra week in spring break. I hope it's compensated. I'm not sure how that works, but, you know, shout out to the teachers. There's no way I could do it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, to kind of pivot to JAG stuff, mostly because there's actually been a lot, like a flurry of activity. I mean, there's no games going on and sports for the most part are shut down, but I will say NFL transaction activity has been through the roof. I mean, there's been all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, what would you guys say have been the biggest moves that have caught your attention?
Obviously, you know, the fiscal year starting up, the DeAndre Hopkins story, you know, getting away from the Jags for a second. That was one of the craziest stories that's been, you know, for a couple of different, you know, off seasons, even bigger than Brady leaving New England. I know that's kind of, you know, the one of the biggest hot topics, but how that all came about, I don't know. I shook my head when I saw that transaction come across the, you know, the wire. Like, really? For David Johnson? Like, what? You know, David Johnson had that 1 year where he ran for 1,200 yards, like 10 or 11 touchdowns, and I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, top three receiver in the league. You know, that was weird.
I think, man, the D-Hop, of course, was crazy. But Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady, man, both of those, they kind of still fall under the realm of just, wow, I can't believe it, because they're just so iconic and they are a part of their teams. You know, Phillip Rivers into Indy. I mean, we got to see him 2 times a year now. So, of course, you know, there's that. Mariota, however you want to say it, you know, and Tannehill, that whole situation, you know, in Tennessee, that was kind of, you know, that was kind of crazy to me just to see them move on, you know, to Tannehill and kind of light, you know, make him the guy. But honestly, man, the Brady thing to me is just, it's just the craziest thing that I've ever seen and witnessed, you know, and been able to understand as far as a football fan, because of the amount of hurt that Brady has caused the NFL for the last, like, what, 15, 20 years?
Yep.
Like, it's insane to see him go and play to another, you know, team. And if he continues to, you know, thrive, and if he does thrive, or if he does sign in Tampa and continues to ball out there, and it's just it's crazy. That's just nuts to me.
I tell you, man, if Tampa can figure out a way to block for him, like, people, this isn't like a, you know, he's gonna go, you know, like, remember when Montana went to the Chiefs 20-something years ago and they turned into a playoff team, they were decent. Like, Tampa has two legit 1,000-yard receivers, two of them. They got two legit tight ends. Like, they can definitely, you know, put up some points. They might not be able to stop anybody, because that's still their problem, but let's see if they can address that in the draft. But, you know, that's a, oh, man, if he can still sling it and if they can protect him, they're going to be a very tough out, and those Saints Bucks games are going to be, you know, massive. You know, they'll definitely be some Monday nighters for sure.
Those Saints Bucks games, man. Now, you know, the fact that we get to watch two, you know, first ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacks go at each other twice in a year is just going to be insane. And like that is what I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah. No, I mean, seeing the pictures, I know they're Photoshop, but seeing the pictures of Brady and the Buccaneers uniform too, just think about it. I mean, he's been, how long has he been with the Patriots? Like 20 years or something like that. Think about that in relative to your age and how much a percentage of your life has been made up by that one guy doing as much as he's done with just one team, and seeing him in another uniform is just completely crazy to me. But yeah, I mean, so all the transactions, you know, just NFL in general have been pretty, pretty intense, but obviously the Jags have been pretty busy. And JK3, if you don't mind kind of running down really quick the trades that Caldwell's pulled off, because he's actually, I mean, for as negative as the fan base has been over the last several months, including us, especially about the London thing, and we can get into that later, a lot of positive reviews on the trade front. So do you mind running through his transactions real quick?
Yeah, man, and it's been a lot to keep up with, so if I am forgetting something, please do not crucify me on Twitter saying that I should have did my research and everything. But what I've seen right now is, A.J. Boye, of course, traded to the Broncos for a fourth. Calais traded to the Ravens for a fifth.
Rambles, that's an NFL biggest team.
The Rambles. And the biggest thing, man, like, and Teflon Don, Dave, does it again, traded Nick Foles to the Bears for a compensatory fourth, which was insane to me. I don't understand how they got out of this contract, and I'm not sure of all the specifics of the contract and how much money is going where. I know that they're still going to be paying Bortles and Nick Foles, when all the dust settles. But the fact that he was able to move Nick Foles and receive something without giving up the stockpile of draft picks, without giving up any, you know, real capital from the team, is insane to me. Like, I don't know how he does it, but I mean, Caldwell strikes again.
Yeah, help me understand that, by the way, because you guys both mentioned that in the group text that when that news broke earlier today. So what was the thought process behind that? Why did people think that we would have to send picks along with Foles to get that deal done?
And just because it's the way the league is nowadays. Usually you don't give up anything in the first five rounds with a player without even getting some type of pick, whether if it's in the next year's draft instead of the upcoming draft. So that was a good thing. But I'm still, man, Caldwell can still, you know, go somewhere as far as I'm concerned, man. Like, how you got two quarterbacks that we're paying now that don't play for our team. Two. Not one, two. Okay, let's think about that now. Yeah, we got Minshew, and, you know, we're going to, you know, that's the Minshew train. Everybody's going to, you know, hop on board and hope he does well. I definitely do. But, man, two QBs you're paying? That's unheard of. I've never seen that. If someone could look up the history of the league to see how many teams have paid two quarterbacks that do not play for them and the GM still has a job.
Well, let me.
I'm pretty sure Cleveland's done it. No, Cleveland has had to have done it.
Well, Cleveland doesn't count. So let's still get the other 30 teams in the league.
Like, Cleveland's still paying like Tim Couch probably at this point.
Well,
no, but like the Bortles thing, I get that. But couldn't you kind of say that the Foles thing is him, and a lot of these transactions is him kind of like undoing the little brief Tom Coughlin era issue?
Yeah, I mean. Everyone's saying, you know, you're putting all the blame on Coughlin because, you know, he's gone now, and there's a lot of blame to be, you know, looked at from Coughlin's perspective. But Caldwell's just in the mix too, man. He's right there. I don't care, you know, if you got all these picks. Yeah, we got, you know, all these picks. You know, 12. You still got to actually execute and make sure you get players that aren't busts, because, you know, you're known to have some busts.
I mean, but he's actually hit on some of the draft.
He has hit. You know, he Ngakoue, okay, that was a hit. Although he's getting ready to go, that was a hit. Jalen was a no-brainer. He's just, you know, although he's a cancer, it was a no-brainer. Telvin, before he you know, flew for the cuckoo's nest. I mean, whatever is going on with him.
I've actually heard coronavirus was started by Telvin. Is that true? That was a rumor earlier.
Gosh. But, yeah, he has hit on a couple, but just some of the misses have been, like, big misses, man.
I mean, but he's got to... I see your point where some of the misses are, and I think the misses are them not properly managing the talent that that the scouts and the triggers that he's pulled to get some of the players here. They have done their due diligence as far as spending in free agency like they normally do, and some of the guys haven't worked out, and I don't think that's really at his fault for picking the free agents that just decide to come to Jacksonville to retire. I mean, he hit on Calais, was arguably one of the best free agents, you know, in Jaguars history. I think my knock on Caldwell is that he hasn't been able to manage the talent and been able to manage the personalities to keep the players that he's hitting on and keep the talent in-house. Ideally, when you do draft, and ideally when you find your model player, you want to find someone that gets to play that second contract. That's what you want. You don't want somebody here for 4 years or for just 2-3 years. You want somebody to get here at around that, you know, fifth, sixth year, be here for a while and continue to be a part of the fandom, continue to be a part of the team. And that's what we're lacking right now. You know, and I mean, it's just ever so present on my desk right now. I've got a cup from like 2017-18 season. And the only person on that cup still here is Leonard Fournette. And I don't think we even want him here anymore. I think he's just here because it's like, all right, you're here, but what are we going to do? So, yeah. You know what I mean? There's nobody else there. And that's what the most frustrating part about it is from a fan perspective is that, you know, you get people here, you get people that are falling in love with the fan, and then you ship them off, and here comes another, you know, new wave of talent that we can hope stay around, but you know, we're not used to having used to having players here for a long time. My biggest dream as a Jaguars fan is to have someone here that I can have a jersey that I can wear and the numbers start fading off the front because I've watched it so many times. And that's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen.
That might be your biggest dream. My biggest dream is that Marquise Lee gets cut. Okay, it's still
that's not gonna happen either.
Why? Like, oh my gosh, man! Like, it's terrible, man. Just terrible.
You think so? Well, I mean, I can't remember. I think you had mentioned last time that cutting him, or maybe we read this on Twitter. I don't remember, but that cutting him would be a significant savings for the team. Why haven't they done anything with him? Are they trying to trade him? Is he even valuable enough for a trade at this point?
I haven't the slightest clue why he is still on the team. Like, some of the production he's put up, there's been, you know, he's been injured, whether if it's something with the guaranteed money that, you know, they're too much money and they've been trying to trade him and they can't. Majority of teams in the league would have been cut bait by now, but for some weird reason he keeps holding on. And that's the Emma, why are you holding on? Like, you held on to Bortles a year too long. You know Is that the MO? Like, I can't think of anybody else off the top of my head right now, but it just doesn't make sense. It just does not make sense at all for the production that he's put up. And then you rewarded Miles Jack with that contract. I know that's obviously a different position, different situation, but it's like, but why? I mean, he was a decent player, don't get me wrong, but he wasn't what, you know, the numbers that, you know, you guys paid him. And anybody's opinion. So when everybody's saying the same thing across all boards, there's got to be some truth to it. And I just look at the Marquise Lee situation. I'm like, why? I think that's every fan, you know, when it comes to him. So,
well,
I think the thing with Miles Jack too is that he got paid too early, and then on top of that, he was put in a position to play a position that he had never played before. And I guess the athleticism is what they were relying on for him to be the middle linebacker. I believe he was, I think he was the strong side linebacker whenever Telvin and Paz were there. I could be wrong, but you know, his range and his outside, is his athleticism allows him to be that way. It allows him to be productive on that outside. The whole thing, man, is that if they would have had Telvin and if Miles Jack would have still been here, there's no way we would have, I mean, we would be talking about Dave Caldwell, you know, is mismanaging money, because, I mean, I don't think you can really, you know, count on, you know, your superstar linebacker, or not superstar, your leader of your team, you know, deciding to walk away from football and leaving that tremendous hole in your gap that you've got to fill with just, you know, random guys off of the NFL waiver wire. So, I mean, it's just, but it's terrible that, you know, they're in that money position where they are in right now. But, I mean, you know, it is what it is. You got to keep moving forward and try to recoup this somehow.
Well, yeah. I was going to say the Miles Jack reference was a pretty good transition to the signing that we just made. And, again, you know, the trades, I mean, so at just kind of the recap, you guys would give what grade to the trade aspect of the offseason?
I'd give it a B.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. John,
what,
JK3?
I'm giving it an A minus, man. Okay. The reason why is because I just don't get how he's working this wizardry to get rid of players and still obtain draft assets. I guess that's the name of the game, right? Yeah. To get rid of, try to save money on the salary cap, get rid of some of your bigger name player or bigger name cap hits, and accumulate draft pick and draft capital so you can hopefully bring in the next wave of talent. So by his job and what he's supposed to be doing, he's doing it, but I think he gets a really bad rap on what happens with that talent when they are here. That's where he struggled.
And not to backtrack, guys. I just went on over the cap because, you know, it still just bugs the crap out of me. There is a cut date post June 1st, you know, past the first, you know, quarter of the NFL fiscal year. And apparently the dead money for Marquise Lee shrinks to 1.75 and the cap savings increases to $7 million. So hopefully that's what they're waiting for is June 1st. We'll see.
But you know what's going to happen June 1st? And by that time in June 1st, OTAs, you know, mini camps and all that stuff would have been had. This dude's going to be completely healthy. He's going to be out there running his crossing routes and his out routes and catching everything. And they're just like, oh, well, you know what? We're going to get – might as well keep Marquise. You know, look what he's doing. He's healthy. He's back, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then come, you know, September 17th or whenever the first game is, he's going to have a nagging core injury or something that they can't really diagnose, and there he goes again.
Yeah. All right, well, okay, so trading, it seems like you guys are pretty high on that. That's good. So when it comes to the free agent acquisition so far, this is where I'm going to struggle in my, you know, overall NFL wisdom with some of the names, because I just don't know a lot of them, unfortunately. But if you haven't seen the trend yet, usually the Jags will announce signing somebody, and then I'll text it to you guys and be like, is he good? That's kind of like my routine. I don't know if I should admit that on here. One of which has gotten a lot of good buzz, was the linebacker from Cleveland, you know, kind of transitioning from the Miles Jack comment, because I guess this guy's a middle linebacker. And it's, what is it, Joe Schobert? Is that how you pronounce it? Schobert?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Joe Schobert.
I think, who was it that I followed? I think Jordan DeLugo actually had said, like, if you don't know who Joe Schobert is, then you don't follow football. And I was like,
well. Well, I guess I don't follow football. Well,
everybody has, you know, jobs and lives, and some people live on their phone 23 hours a day.
Oh, so, no. I didn't mean it in a negative way, but that is.
No, it's true, because, you know, not everybody has time to look at these things, and it's a pain in the butt to track everything, unless that's your profession. You know, if that's your profession, there are some, you know, guys out there that do this, and, you know, we respect, but then there's some that just kind of, sorry, that comment bothers me. it does, because not everybody can do those things. You know, you don't follow football. Well, I'm sorry, I don't have my phone attached to me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week as a fan. And, you know, so sorry. So, but no, he's a
speaking of phones, dude. My screen time is going to be astronomical with COVID-19 breaking out. Like, bro, this is going to be ridiculous. Like, I'm just waiting for it that Sunday to hit, and it's just like your screen time has been up 48% to 17 hours a day. Hey, maybe you should go talk to people.
Yeah, they should just cut. They should just disable that feature automatically for like the next 6 months.
But no, he's a good Schobert's a good player. Like he's gonna bring the cerebral approach that we've been lacking since Paz retired. That's gonna be the biggest thing, because getting tackles in the NFL isn't just about being the biggest, the baddest, the strongest, and the fastest. It's 90% of it's being the smartest, knowing the angles, knowing the when you're running sideline to sideline, when you see the play developing, even before the ball is snapped, making sure you're taking the right angle to put yourself in position to make plays. That's what we've been lacking. We haven't been lacking physical talent. We've been lacking, you know, brains, especially at the lead position for the defense.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is don't they call kind of like the middle linebacker sort of like the quarterback of the defense, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And that's kind of, and it can be any linebacker position, but, you know, as far as, you know, putting a C on there or putting a mic in their helmet, but it usually is the middle. And, you know, if he can make great calls and if he can get Miles Jack in position, put him in a position to where he doesn't have to think as much, he can just react.
Mm-hmm.
That'll definitely help, you know, putting him on the weak side, because guess what, people, Telvin ain't coming back. That will definitely help the defense tremendously, especially in that short passing game, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, where your tight ends are running those hooks, sitting down right there on those hashes, and, you know, you're getting picked apart for those first downs. That's where it really comes into in hand.
Yeah, I think as far as helping out the team and helping out, on the defensive side of the ball, I think they were able to go ahead and sign Darqueze Dennard as well, who is a former first-round pick with Cincy. But I just think at that point, I think this one right here is where they really kind of screwed the pooch. They could have been able to, you know, get Darius, Slay, veteran quarterback, or cornerback, excuse me, from the Lions, who's going to provide, you know, one, a little bit of mentorship between Ronnie Harrison, and the secondary there. But two, also, you got to think about it right now, as far as our starting cornerback goes right now on the team, it's Trey Herndon. DJ Hayden right now is he is your nickel corner, but as far as your every down corner right now, you've got Trey Herndon, Darqueze Dennard, and whoever they decide to draft. Either it's going to be Jeff Okuda, which I hope, or CJ Henderson. The Gator in me wants us to get CJ Henderson, of course, but, you know, the realist and some of the things that I see, you know, Okuda is, you know, probably the better of the NFL pedigree. But, you know, bringing in Darius Slay would have been and I think they still can do it. I don't think nothing's been happening or been signed yet. I don't think he's been signed at all yet. But that's still something that they can do. But that would be an awesome pickup, you know, for the secondary for them to continue to build off of. They've built off right now with the defensive line, signed another, run stopper for sure from Arizona. Calais left, bringing another former Arizona, you know, kind of guy. Corey, Derek, how do you guys think, you know, this will be, you know, helping the defensive line out?
Well, once again, from my perspective, I'm leaning on your guys' expertise on Gunter because I just don't know a lot about him. I mean, everything I read is that he's kind of like the textbook, you know, sort of veteran guy that we want to bring in to replace somebody like Campbell. But, Derek, I'll kind of let you take over for that.
No, I mean, solid player, solid pickup. I'm pretty sure he's a Florida native from Haines City, I want to say. So maybe that's why he wanted to come back home, maybe finish out his career. I think he's, you know, on the latter side of 25, maybe 27, 28. I'm trying to pull him up right now. But, the thing is, you got to have guys that are solid, that play good ball, that maintain their, to say this, you know, this lightly as possible, maintain their gap integrity, I guess you can say. And what that means is being in position to make plays. And he's definitely one of those. So hopefully he'll be able to contribute. And you never know. The defense doesn't have to have all the Pro Bowlers that we've had in the past to be successful. They just have to be in position to make plays. And, you know, I can tell you, honestly, we're definitely going to get a corner in the draft. I don't know. Maybe in the first 3 or 4 picks, we're definitely going to get one. So
we got 12. Yeah. So
yeah, we gosh, but it's going to be – I think it'll be okay. I think the thing about the team is hopefully, you know, they don't screw up the draft. Caldwell – I have no faith in Caldwell. I have a little faith in Marrone, and the only reason why it's not more than a little is because Caldwell's technically running the ship when it comes to the picks. So I just hope they don't screw it up, man. It's just that's a lot to hope for.
I think my faith is kind of vice versa. I think my faith is in Caldwell being able to actually, you know, bring in some draft picks, bring in and address, you know, where we are, you know, on the team. My whole thing is with Doug. I feel like the way that, you know, they handled the Minshew, you know, thing, and I feel like the way that they have took him a while to kind of cut him loose. You know, they still had a script that they wanted to run. They still wanted to run the ball, drive the ball down the field with Fournette, run. And then when they got into the red zone, you know, then you go to all these different play action stuff when it's the easiest time to go ahead and score. So mine would be vice versa with you. Of course, I do hope that, you know, Caldwell doesn't screw it up, especially with the amount of draft capital that you have right now. But I think this is probably going to be one of the younger teams, or if not the youngest team in the NFL. I think the oldest player on the team right now is like 30, 29, wow, something like that. When I read what I was scrolling today, that is insane. You know, for you to have a team, you know, with that young. So I think they are missing some veteran presence on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. I think that they're, well, not necessarily offense. I think Linder, I take that back. Linder is the offensive presence on, or, you know, veteran presence on that side of the ball. But as far as the defensive side of things goes right now, I mean, the longest tenured guy on this team is either Smoot or the other defense, Avery Jones, right? And, you know, I'm not in the locker room, so I don't know if, you know, how vocal they are. But on some of the things that we do see and some of the stuff that we've been, you know, kind of watching them for the last couple of years, they haven't really necessarily been the most vocal leader. Maybe because they haven't had to be, I don't know. But there needs to be some type of veteran, you know, leadership on that defensive side of the ball as well.
At a minimum, at least the number of draft picks adds a little bit more excitement to the offseason, because before all these trades started happening, if you can recall the last time we recorded, there was nothing but bad news and nothing to look forward to. So at least with these picks, there's a little something to look forward to now. So that's good. When it comes, I know JK3, who runs our very famous Twitter page, you had, I guess, just kind of sought out some reactions, I guess, or just some tweets from people.
Yeah, I always think it's good when something crazy happens with the Jags, just to get people's reaction and kind of get their pulse to really see if they're thinking, you know, the way that I am, or how what the general consensus is with the fans. And, you know, today I just put up just a simple retweet, you know, asking people to keep it PG-13, which most of you did. But, you know, what are your thoughts on, you know, Nick Foles and how we were able to, you know, kind of finesse the Bears and get rid of that contract and get, you know, a fourth round compensatory pick out of it. First one that I've got, KP. I'm not even going to go ahead and try to pronounce your last name, bro. I'm sorry. I don't want to butcher it. Yeah, I don't see. Okay, go ahead, Corey. Thank you. Not having to send a pick with him and getting a fourth is fantastic. I 1,000% agree with you. Again, I think that's crazy how they were able to go ahead and move him based off of his pedigree for being a Super Bowl winning MVP, which they keep throwing around. Like that Super Bowl was almost, what, 3 years ago?
I like how quickly you've taken
it. I mean, I get it. I get it, man. You know, you're going to go down in the record books, but quit saying it on SportsCenter today. Like, you didn't do anything here but break your clavicle on throwing a nice, you know, touchdown pass, DJ Chark. Great, I understand that. But come on, man. You know, let it go. At Logan Dunn, we finally made a move worth a darn. I substituted a word there. But, yeah, Logan, I agree. You know, Caldwell is kind of really stepping up to the plate, and I think he's going to have to draft for his life this draft coming up, which is going to be crazy because there's not going to be any fans there. Which is it's like one of the more premier events in sports. It's the NFL draft. I mean, did you guys see on Monday Night Raw Stone Cold when he was like, "Can I get a hell yeah?"
That was really
funny. There were no fans there.
They should take it back. They should take the draft back old school and just put rotary phones in there too. and just, you know, like nobody's there. Just, you know, calling the pick, calling the rotary phone. Three, four. Yeah, I want to take Joe Burrow with the first pick. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, funny. Man, that is just, it was just so funny and how the cameraman would just zoom in on the seats, like expecting someone to say "Hell yeah" from Stone Cold, and there was no one.
Yeah, they did that really. So that was funny. Actually, I thought that was pretty funny.
And the last one that we've got, at UA Burger Guy, who I thought his name was interesting. I went and took a look at his Twitter page, and apparently this guy is just going around the Tuscaloosa and trying every burger bar in Tuscaloosa. And I'm just thinking, like, are there that many burger places that you can get a burger from in Tuscaloosa? Mm-hmm. So UA Burger Guy, if you actually listen, I would like to see this list that you are compiling around Tuscaloosa, and your name, you should probably change it, because UA, I automatically think University of Auburn, right. And you're not an Auburn fan, yeah, so you should probably go like Bama Burger Guy, at Bama Burger Guy, or something like that, anyways, but he said, doesn't matter, Campbell's gone, we trade assets and play in London. Again, should probably stick to the burgers in Tuscaloosa. Yeah. I'm pretty sure you know more about those than, you know, what we've got going on, but hey, I really do appreciate it, really appreciate the tweets. You know, as well. So if you guys, you know, still continue to listen to the podcast, which we thank, you know, if you're in Orange Park or the Jacksonville area, make sure you stop by Brewers as well. But, you know, that's all I got from the Twitter mailbag.
No, there was actually one other tweet. I don't know if you saw this, but somebody had tweeted at the Jaguars and at Tony Khan specifically, something, Jack's Not Jack, I think is the username. And it says,
that guy.
Perfect opportunity to back out of the extra London game. Just saying. Man, I agree with that so much. That person that tweeted that is so smart.
That wasn't in response to the Twitter question, though.
Yeah, but I really liked how independent.
That's why I didn't make it down by the mailbag.
No, he was just very much like an independent thinker. That's really what I respected about him. He just kind of like did his own thing, which I thought was respectable.
That's a wild guy.
Yeah.
We'll have to send him some stickers or maybe some cups.
But that being said, before we wrap up, I 100,000,000% think that this is the perfect godsend for them to be able to quietly back out of that and say, hey, you know, we want to make sure we support the city of Jacksonville. Plus, with all the travel restrictions, you know, it's just not worth it. We're just going to go back to the original plan. Tell me this is not the perfect thing that if they wanted to back out of that, they could.
COVID-19 is not going to be around in November when the NFL cranks up.
You think?
I'm telling you.
I mean,
you
think? NFL, I'm telling you. The NFL cranks up its season in August, September, and said November.
I don't know, man.
Well, when they travel. That game is usually in London.
Hey, man, I mean, it's...
I don't know. I disagree.
If people don't stop or don't start listening, you know, and self-quarantining and or, you know, keeping their space and keeping their distance, you never know, man. People are stubborn. The reason why the virus has a chance is because people are stupid and people are stubborn. I'm serious. It is what it is. They just don't. Yeah, I'm going to do what I want to do, and if I catch it, I catch it. Oh, well. It's not the fact if you catch it. It's if you give it to someone who doesn't have the immune system you do. So
I don't know. Personal take. I just think it's like, from a PR perspective, it's just perfect if they wanted to. Like, it's literally the only weird situation that could give them a reason to be able to say, you know, we want to make sure that we're supporting Jacksonville. Because the thing that I thought of with all these businesses that have had to like suspend operations or shut down and the workers that suffer, it started to make me think about, you know, not only one game, but two games. Why was that not a big conversation? The fact that a lot of these game day workers and these part-time folks that will work for, you know, the Jags on game day, that they're losing out on this and hence affecting the city of Jacksonville. Like, you know, we're talking about the viability of the team, but we're not talking at all about the people of Jacksonville that are affected by an additional game going out. And I don't know.
Because Khan doesn't care, man. He only cares.
But do you know what I mean? Hasn't this sort of like made you think about that a little bit more now? Because it has for me.
Yeah, no, it should be one of the things, one of the top, you know, two or three things they should focus on is that when you talk about the local economy, you're talking about the people that actually, you know, work at the games, the businesses that actually get hurt by moving those games. He just doesn't care. I mean, that's my personal opinion. He just doesn't care. So whatever the reason may be, you know, people, you know, have speculated. They think they know. You got some people that have been close to the team in the past say that, hey, just wait, there's going to be more. You just don't know. Nobody knows what that guy's really up to. And if he is trying to move the team to Europe, that's are the players really going to want to go over there and play? You know, if that's the case, if they really do pull that off, maybe he, you know, if he's telling the truth, hey, that was a weird way to recover the city of Jacksonville by helping the fans out. But,
right,
you know, he just doesn't care. This is just what it is. There's no care to it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'll try not to leave too much on a negative note after that sudden wave of optimism and somewhat positivity, I guess, from the recent moves. But like JK3 said, be sure to interact with us on Twitter and just keep an eye out for those little Q&A posts in case we can kind of feature your tweet on here. And then also, if you're on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave us a rating and review, 5 stars preferably. And if you could put some comments in there, those are always fun to read too. So again, we appreciate you guys listening, and we will talk to you next time. All right, good?
Good.